The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Makes me to lie down in green pastures, leads me beside the still waters, restores my soul. Now the shepherd that David described is the shepherd who is depicted in the Son of David, Jesus Christ, in a very real way here in John chapter 6, the text before us. For those characteristics that David described are displayed in John chapter 6 in an unmistakable way. You see, David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And now in John chapter 6, we see thousands of people gathering around the Son of David, Jesus Christ. And Mark tells us of this same event, this same chapter that we're in. Mark's account is, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things." Jesus saw the crowd, the multitude, and viewed them as sheep lacking a shepherd. And so he began to tend them. The Lord is my shepherd. And Jesus saw them as sheep. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. And what does Jesus do in John chapter 6? Seeing these sheep who were hungry, not only spiritually, but physically, he says there in John 6 to his disciples in verse 9, "Make the men sit down." And there was much grass in that place. So he made them sit down in green pastures. And then David said, "He leads me beside the still waters." And here, the Son of David, Jesus Christ, in the next section in John chapter 6, the disciples are out at sea, and the wind is blowing, and the waves are rolling. And Jesus, as we saw in our study last week, made the waters still. He calmed the storm. The parallel is perfect. And then David said, "He restores my soul." And now the Son of David in John chapter 6, after making them sit down in green pastures and after stilling the troubled waters, is now going to restore their souls by giving to them soul food, man. Real, down-home, eternal soul food. He had already fed them physically. We'll look at that in our next study more carefully. But now he is interested in feeding them spiritually, in restoring their souls. Now, follow with me. The next day, after Jesus Christ had fed them physically, making them sit down in green pastures and tending them physically, and then stilling the waters there on the Sea of Galilee, the people in mass were seeking after the Lord. They were looking for him. And the next day they found him in Capernaum on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And they couldn't figure out how he got there. Little did they know that he had a shortcut walking right across the sea. But all men, it says, were seeking, verse 24, for Jesus. They were looking for Jesus, gang. All of that crowd, all of those sheep were seeking for Jesus. They were seeking for Jesus, not to be with Jesus, but rather to get something from Jesus. Why are you? Why am I? Why are we sitting on this green grass, in this green pasture today? Is it really to be with Jesus, or is it really to get something from Jesus? We gather as the sheep of His pasture. He is the Good Shepherd. But these people sought out Jesus not to be with Him, but to get something from Him. And He pinpoints that in the verses that follow. And again, we'll look at that in our Wednesday evening study more carefully. Jesus nails them and points out to them that they are not seeking spiritual or eternal values, but temporal and physical things. And then Jesus says, "Verily, I say unto you," verse 32, "Moses gave you not that bread from heaven," that bread they were referring to earlier, the manna that came down miraculously, providing for the Jews sustenance in their wilderness journey. "Moses did not give you that bread, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which comes down from heaven and gives life into the world." Oh, the people were saying, "Hey, Moses provided food for us." And Jesus said, "Hey, it's not Moses at all." And by the way, He would say, not only was that not from Moses, but a gift from God, but rather it all points to and speaks of me personally. It talks about me, for you see, that manna, which came down from heaven and fell on the ground morning by morning to sustain the people of Israel when they were wandering through the wilderness for those 40 years, that manna, Exodus chapter 16 tells us, was an interesting thing. It was small, and it was round. And it was white, and it tasted like honey. And Jesus Christ is saying in this scripture, the bread of God is He which came down from heaven. You see, it's a picture of and a type of me personally. Jesus was small in the sense that in humility, He left His throne of glory and came down to become just like us and live among us. That's humility. So even as the manna was small, which speaks of humility, so Jesus Christ came down from His throne in glory and became just like you, just like me. The manna was also round, which speaks of eternality. As a circle, it has no beginning point and no ending point. And Jesus Christ is the eternal I Am. In the beginning was the Word. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus Christ had no beginning and has no ending. So the circle speaks of eternality. The size speaks of humility. The white of the manna speaks of purity. Our Lord, our Shepherd, has no sin, no spot, no blemish whatsoever. And the taste of honey speaks of sweetness. He's tasty. Oh, the Bible says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Don't just think about Him. Don't just debate concerning Him, but take a bite and taste of Him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, like honey. So the manna, you see, small, humility, round, eternality, white, purity, taste, honey. It's all a picture of Jesus Christ. And Jesus here is saying, that's the issue. You're missing the point in focusing on the material. Rather, all of that was indicative or an illustration of me, the bread sent from heaven. It's me that you're craving. It's me that you're desiring. It's of me that you'll be sustained in this wilderness wandering called life. Now, Moses did not give you that bread, but my Father has given you the true bread, for the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven. And then in verse 34, they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Hey, give us this stuff. Then Jesus said, I am the bread of life. They were still looking to get something from him. They were looking for him earlier, not looking to him. They wanted something from him, and he's saying, it's just him. I am the bread. Not something I give, it's something I am. Benjamin, my three-year-old. Oh, about 6 months ago, when we would put him in for his evening tuck-in time, every night, Benjamin asked Tammy and me, or Tammy or me, to sing a song. He wanted to join in. It's a song he learned at the fellowship. Allelu, allelu. We have come into his presence. Allelu. We sing it here a lot. And over again, Benjamin wanted to hear that song and sing that song. And we thought, wow, this is great. We have a spiritual giant. And he just wants to worship the Lord. Allelu, allelu, we have come into his presence. And then after a few weeks, he looked up at Tammy and he said, hey, hey. And what? What is it, Ben? Well, when do we get his presence? When do we get the presence? And all of a sudden, it hit us. We have come into his presence. He wasn't thinking P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. He was thinking P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, as in Christmas and birthday. Okay, allelu. Now, where's the presence? And I can't help but think that's a whole lot like us. Okay, now we're going to go to church on Sunday and we're going to worship Friday night with Carrie. And man, where's the presence? Where's the goodies? I should be getting that new job, or the pay raise should be on its way, or the relationship is going to gel, or the ministry is going to open, because here we are in his presence. And here Jesus is dealing with that tendency. Give us this bread. They were still thinking temporal, tangible, material, touchable. And Jesus then spells it out for them unmistakably when he says, I am the bread of life. Now, for you students of Scripture, please make note, the I am is a Greek phrase, ego eimi, which is heavy. I am. For you see, in that, you go back to Exodus chapter 3. Moses, who led them in the wilderness when the manna was coming down from God, from the heavens. As Moses was just receiving his call to lead the people out of Egypt, he was discussing and debating with God if he would be able to do this. And he said, well, who shall I say sent me? Who am I going to tell these people that sent me to do this, to lead them out of Egypt into the land of promise? What's your name? Who are you? What should I call you? Is what he was saying to God. And God said, my name is I am that I am. Moses must have scratched his head and thought, you are? That you are? You are what? I am that I am. I am. That's the name Yahweh or Jehovah, as our King James Version renders it. It's simply those vowels. Yahweh, I am that I am. Those vowels compose the name Yahweh, I am. You are what? And what God really is would only be fully and completely revealed when he became a man and when Jesus came into our midst. Listen, I am blank is what God was saying essentially in Exodus chapter 3, and the blank will be filled in when Jesus Christ, you see, comes on the scene. Again, for you students, jot this verse down. At the end of his ministry, as Jesus is talking to the Father, in John chapter 17, verse 6, Jesus said to his Father, O Father, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. I have shown thy name. In other words, I have filled in the blank. I am. You are what? And now here comes Jesus saying, I have manifested thy name, your character, your nature. Jesus said, I am the bread. Hey, are you hungry today? Is there something gnawing in your stomach? Are you dissatisfied? Are you empty? Jesus would say to you and to me, I am the bread. Later on in John, he would say, I am the light of the world. Are you in the dark today? Do you feel like you don't see the light? You don't know which way to go, which way to turn? Jesus would say, I am the light. Not something I give to you. It's something I am for you. It's me, personally. It's not something which I hand to you. It's something which I'll be for you as you embrace me and walk with me and enjoy me daily. I am the light. Not I give the light. Not I give bread. I am. It's me. You say, but I'm so vulnerable. I'm so insecure. I'm so suspicious of people. I have so many fears. Jesus would say in John, I am the door. I will keep you safe and secure. I will close out from you anything which I will not see you through. I will protect you and secure you and be a door for you. I am the door. Do you feel cut off, isolated? Jesus said in John 15, I am the vine. Abide in me. Cling to me. Find security and linkage in me. I am the vine, you see. And seven more times Jesus would say, after declaring, I am the bread, he would say, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the light. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection. Whatever you have need of, Jesus will be. I am what? I'm everything. Whatever you have need of. But here's the thing. Many times, many of us are looking for something from him instead of just clinging to him moment by moment. And you find not that he gives you a door to protect you, but he is that door for you. Not that he'll show you the way to go that day. He is the way. If Benjamin was to come down here right now and say, Daddy, I need to get home right away. I don't feel good, Daddy. I wouldn't say, well, Benjamin, in that case, walk through the amphitheater. Take a left down the gravel path, turn right in the parking lot, go up the hill, stick your thumb out and hitchhike on Highway 238, go 11 miles till you get to the bottom of Jacksonville Hill, then take a left, go across from Van Ways, turn right on G Street, then turn left on Huner Lane, go three houses down and you'll be there. See you later, kid. Now what have I done? I have told him the way, but it's confusing for him. It's difficult. Or I could say, Benjamin, buddy, Not feeling good, huh? Come here, son. And I hold him in my arms. And I walk him out in the parking lot. And I carry him to the car. You see, I'm not telling him anything. I am the way, you see. He just is resting in me. He's staying close to me. And he'll end up at the right place. For you see, I'm not telling him the way. I am the way. And once a believer sees this, it will knock you over. You'll be blown away. That's what happened literally at the end of John's gospel. The soldiers came to take him, to arrest him. And as Jesus is there with his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus says to these soldiers who had staves and swords and lanterns in hand, Jesus said, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And you know what Jesus said? "I am, ego a me." And you know what happened to them? They all fell over backwards. Probably several hundred soldiers. Boom! Once they heard "I am," they went down. And I'll tell you this, once you grab this and see that it's not something he gives, it's who he is, it'll knock you down, man. It'll bowl you over. "Lord, you mean I've been asking for this and looking for that, and in reality, it's all bound up in you personally? It's just you? And if I just stay close to you every day, I'll end up at the right spot. If I just rest in your arms, you'll be that door. If I just cling to you, I won't feel cut off and isolated." Jesus says, "That's right. I am the vine. I am the door. I am the way." Now, please, before we go on our way today, I know it's hot. And you are hearing a highly edited compacted message right now. Before we go our way, understand this, because the analogy is so very practical and helpful for you in making this happen personally. I am the bread. It's not what I give to you. It's who I want to be for you every day of your life. When the manna came down from heaven, that bread that was round and small and white and tasted like honey, four things could happen on a given day. Number one, they could pick it up. The bread could be picked up and they could eat it morning by morning and receive the strength for the journey for that day. Every morning, 6 days a week, on the Sabbath, special provision was made, but 6 days a week, the bread was there. And morning by morning, the bread could be picked up. If it wasn't picked up morning by morning, it would either be trampled on. And there are those that sit here today that won't expend the energy or make the effort to, in the morning, pick up on the Lord. And essentially, you say, "I don't need the Lord. I can journey on without the Lord." And you're trampling on the Lord. It's an insult. It's stupidity. And you're going to head for some very real sorrows and unnecessary difficulties because you are trampling on the Lord. Those who wouldn't stoop down and stop and pick up the bread ended stomping on the bread. Or if they didn't stomp on it, let's say they avoided it. You might say, "I'm not stomping on the Lord." Are you picking up on the Lord? No, but I'm not stomping on him. I want you to know, in that case, the manna would melt away by the time the sun got hot. Can you relate to that? The manna would melt away. It just wouldn't be there for that day. And many times people say, "Well, I just don't feel the Lord or sense His strength, I don't feel that He is the truth and the door and the vine and the good shepherd, that He is the bread and the living water. And I always have to wonder, truly, did you stop this morning, truly, and take the time to feed on Him and spend time with Him and look to Him? Or are you simply too busy? And then later on in the day, when the heat comes out, when the trials come your way, you try and find the Lord, but He's nowhere to be found. You see, oftentimes, it's because I have neglected Him in the quiet time. Oh, He's still there. He never leaves me or forsakes me. But I just don't really perceive His presence and receive from Him that which I could have, that which He would have me to, you see. The manna melted away. So it was either picked up, or it was trampled on, or it melted away, or fourthly, some said, hey, this is too hard to do this daily. Let's gather a bunch. It'll store us over for several days. We don't have to go out in the morning. And you know the story. You know what happened. It says there in the book of Exodus chapter 16 that it bred worms and stank. It causes a stink. If you try and store it up, it causes a stink. Now you say, what does that mean? It means simply this. There are people that say, you know what? I've had enough Bible study. I don't need to go to Wednesday night. I don't need to go to the home study that I'm a part of. I don't need to meet with that discipleship group. I don't need to go and cook in the amphitheater or go to First Baptist or wherever or whatever. I've got enough stored up, man. I've been doing this for some time. And you know what? You'll end up stinking. Because what'll happen to justify, listen carefully, listen very carefully here, to justify your own spiritual laziness and disobedience, you will find reasons to not go to church or Bible study. You'll say, well, they're a bunch of hypocrites. You'll say, oh, they're just out there just to hear some guitars. Or, they're not serious about the gospel and the kingdom like I am. Stink. You just cause a stink and you talk stink and you smell terribly. Other people stink in your nostrils and you say stinky stuff and you just become a stinker. And really, the reason is very simple. They thought they could store it up. And a Christian, usually about the third, fourth, fifth year of his walk, finds himself vulnerable at that time to starting to say, I know it. I got it down. I got the rap. I don't need to hear the Gospel of John once more. I'll go to Blockbuster instead and rent a video. Or we'll have a barbecue. Or whatever it might be. I don't need to get up early in the morning. I got it. I can just, hey, the Lord, doesn't He give His beloved rest and He wants me to sleep in? And you start, and then because you then have to start rationalizing your lack of involvement or your lack of discipline. And consequently, it always comes out in a stink. Well, they stink out there. Or she stinks, or they stink, or whoever it might be. And the word, if it's not being eaten daily, if you try and carry it over for a day or two or three, and say, I don't need the manna today, I'll just store it up, you can be sure of this, you will be a stinker. That's an absolute fact. It'll show in your attitude, it'll come out in your words, and you'll look at others and you'll say they smell. You see, Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Day by day, He wants to be your I am. Day by day, He wants to be your I am. Not something He gives to you, something He is for you, each and every day. You who are empty, He wants today to be the bread. He really does. You who are disconnected and feeling isolated, He wants to be the vine. I am, He said. You who don't know which way to go, oh Lord, guide me. He would say to you and to me, I am the way. Just cling to me. And that's why Paul told the Corinthians, all the promises of God are yea and amen in Him. All 3,000 promises of the Bible are embodied and wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ, the I Am. Well, much more to say. It'll have to wait for another time. Please understand this. He is everything you have need of, personally. The choice is whether today I'm going to slow down and stoop down and pick the bread of life up and open my life and eat, allowing it to sink down into the darkest, deepest recesses of my inner being. Even as you eat bread, it sinks into your belly. So when you eat of the Lord, you're saying, I'm going to slow down now and allow you to penetrate the deepest, darkest recess of me. Lord, fellow eaters, I'll tell you, spirituality is not a drive-through fast food commodity.
Oh, well, I listen to tapes on my way into work.
Well, that's fine.
KOBI, there's a sign in every morning at 5:30, 32 seconds. I pick up that, and that's my bread for today, you see.
Well, the Lord isn't really in the fast food business. He prepares for us a table. He told the disciples, make them sit down, slow down. Man, chew on the Lord, and you'll find He is the bread that will satisfy you now and forevermore. Shall we stand together? I'm going to ask that no one move right now, please, unless it's a real emergency. I'm so very excited about the revolutionary and radical word that Jesus gave there in John 6, the ego eimi. And how I pray for my brothers and sisters, for our church family, how I pray for me and my own nuclear family, that we might not seek the Lord for something He gives, but just feed on the Lord morning by morning for who He is. You'll find the other stuff doesn't matter. It just won't bug you. It won't be an obsession to you. If you just say, Lord, it's You. I've been so worried about the job, striving over the hurt, trying to get healed from the past, or concerned about the future. And I lay that all aside right now, Lord. And I choose not to seek You as they did to get something from You. But I choose to seek You just to be with You and to feed on You. Have you trampled on the Lord? Have you said, I don't need the bread from heaven. You'll end up in hell if you continue with that perspective, with that kind of action. God desires that none should perish. And so he laid down his life for you. He died in place of you. But you see, if you reject that, he'll allow you to go to hell, but you'll have to trample on him to get there. You'll have to trample on his dead body. He would say to you reverently, not over my dead body will I allow you to go to hell, and I'll die for you. But if you say, I don't care, man, it's time to party, you can trample on him. You'll be lost eternally. Or if you're a believer, you can just say, well, I'm not going to really take the time to pick up on that bread morning by morning. I'll store it up. Don't do it. Each and every day, may God grace you with this simple reminder. I am the bread, the manna sent from heaven. Take the time. Feed on him. Feed on him. Feed on him. Jesus, I thank you that we could pause even now to consider the radical statements that you gave to us in John's gospel. That you are the I am. That you are whatever we have need of. And Father, each one of us stands here this morning on this hot day with certain concerns or struggles or battles or burdens or questions. But Lord, we know, Jesus, you are the way. And we choose this morning to say once more, we embrace you. We really do. So come into our hearts, Lord, once more. Revive our souls. Jesus, may we not trample on you or be lazy in pursuing you or seek to build up a reservoir of you. But help me, Father, and help the Applegate Fellowship sisters and brothers. Help us to daily feast on you, the bread from heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.